Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
We've spoken quite a lot this week about Amnesty International's report, about Whoopi Goldberg's conversation, and we wanted to understand a little bit more about the psychology of hate speech. We also spoke to a communications professor, and he spoke about amplification, and that's what happens on social media, is that we amplify the negative, and that, of course, is deeply problematic. We wanted to understand the psychological impact of hate speech and how that morphs or switches over into physical violence. Dr. Linda Blokland, chairperson at Clinical Psychology Forum. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Howard. Thank you for having me on your show again.
A great pleasure. It's a very difficult one, isn't it? Because we, for most of us, we'll see these terrible things, and it's not going to cause us, I don't think, to go out and do harm to somebody, but it very clearly does in some cases.
Yes, you're right. It is a difficult question, and it's something, curiously, that we've seen arise, especially with the rise of social media. Yeah, I think one of the issues that we're looking at here is that, you know, the ordinary practice of gossip that everybody's engaged in since the beginning of time has morphed over into the social media realm. But I think the fundamental difference between gossip and what we're seeing on social media is the physical distance. So, you know, with that physical distance, one becomes a little bit more anonymous. Well, actually, pretty much anonymous.
But, yeah.
And yes, and then bolder to be able to say things that we wouldn't normally say to people if they were standing in front of us.
Right, because I mean, I think of myself as an incredibly terrible gossip, but and I love a little bit of gossip, maybe even a lot of gossip. But isn't there a massive difference between that and hate speech?
No, there is a massive difference, but at one level. But at another level, that's the kind of thing. I mean, sometimes, and not everybody gossips in a mean way, but that is what some people do. You know, they have a little dig at somebody else or sneer at what's going on in someone else's life. And it is, as you said before, you know, it's amplified in the social media because of that distance space. It feels a little bit unreal, and the people that you're talking about, especially if you're celebrities or people in the public eye, you're talking about them, they're also a little bit unreal. So it feels like you can say anything you like. It doesn't,
Is that why it is easier to hate more in a more general way? In other words, things like anti-Semitism, classic racism, where it's just a group of people, therefore maybe much more anonymous. But I could have, you know, and we always laugh at the line, some of my best friends are Jewish. You could have some of your best friends being Jewish but still be an anti-Semite because one is generalized and anonymous while one is quite specific.
Exactly. And no, I think you're absolutely right there. So, and again, you know, it's almost impersonal in a way. So you're not really thinking of anybody in particular. If you're hitting out at a group, you can say, you know, what's on your mind, or amplify that into some sort of hate speech, really nasty thing.
Mm. With all of that, what is the transition? What does it take to transition from hate speech to action? How does talking about anti-Semitism, talking about Jews, for example, in a disparaging way, how does that cross the line to physical violence?
Yeah, I think that is, again, to do with the amplification and the feeling of anonymity. So, and one, you know, when we start voicing these things, it gives us almost the courage to go to cross that line. And you become one of a group of other people who also hate. So, yes, then that sort of group mentality, that group think almost takes over. One can move into a violent sphere rather than just a verbal sphere.
Are only certain people at risk? What does it take for a person to be at risk?
To be at risk of doing that,
of taking hate speech to a physical level.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I would like to say that not everybody is given to violence. You know, some people they would draw the line, the barrier would come up. But I think potentially a lot of people could cross that line if you were in a group.
So is this more likely to happen in a group of people?
It's more likely to happen in a group of people, yes, because once again, you're not taking responsibility for your action.
In terms of physical violence against a group of people or a person based on race, religion, or anything else, what makes that particular person, is there a common thread that'll make that particular person vulnerable to it? Is it a person who's had something in their background, has been socialized in a certain way? What are the factors, I guess? Mm-hmm. Are there common denominators amongst racists or people that will act on it?
Well, if we're talking about people who would act on that, certainly people who have themselves experienced violence in the past have grown up within communities that condone violence to some extent, where it's a common way of expressing oneself, of solving problems. Definitely those people would be more vulnerable and more liable to express it in a violent way.
It's really fascinating and a very scary time in which to live. It is 8:53. I'd love your thoughts, please. 34519 or 0618951019. Dr. Linda Blockland, chairperson at the Clinical Psychology Forum.